Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. Well, it's not really live, it's taped, but I'm really here taping it. The live local show that's all about the issues of aging. What about nursing homes? What's the UMNA? What's the CSRA? What about vets? Do you know about the DHCS 7077? Do you know about new stuff? Do you know about new rules? Do you know about how to talk to your dying loved ones? Do you know about my upcoming workshop? Do you know that two drug companies have just pulled out of Alzheimer's treatment because there is no cure? Do you know the words that signal, and on and on and on. That's just what's sitting in front of me, folks, to talk about today. Because I spend all week looking for information on how to make our lives better as we age, how to protect aging loved ones, how to find the right kind of care, how to make wise decisions, and then I try to bring that information to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you know somebody that's older, if you're getting older, if you love someone who's getting older, you've come to the right place. There's all kinds of shows on retirement and how to save your money for retirement. And those are great. Yeah, they're cool. Everybody should do that. But making wise decisions about care for a loved one are harder than anything that you can imagine. I got a phone call yesterday from someone, and I'll get to all my information in a minute, but I got a phone call yesterday from someone whose mother is getting older, and no one in the family wants to take care of her except for one sister. And this brother's comment to me was his sister is now broken. If you haven't tried to take care of someone 24 hours a day for a long time, that's the perfect word. She's not just tired, she's broken. And so we're going to try to see if we can help and get the help that the family needs and figure out how to pay for it and all that kind of stuff. Good morning. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here for 20 years on KFBK. And God willing and the creek don't rise, I'll be here for 20 more. At least that's my hope. I would like to be able to do that, and I hope that I can. So glad to have you with us. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I do not practice law. I have to say this every week. I say it along with me. I do not give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. I have a California insurance license. That's in case this show is secretly about me selling insurance. I am not securities licensed. I don't sell securities. I have to tell you that I don't sell something that I don't sell, just in case you were wondering. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County that allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I'm a notary. Let's see what else. I am not a licensed electrician or plumber, and I can probably, however, snake a drain. So that said, that's all the stuff that I'm not and am. And what I am is the longest running radio show in California, probably in the country, on senior issues, and it's become California's single best source for the issues of aging. There's so much misinformation, folks. We've been talking about a Medi-Cal form called the DHCS 7077. I may talk about that a little bit. Had a workshop last week. It was fabulous. I love my new format. I have a new format, and I love it. And I'm going to be doing another one on July the 7th. That's a Saturday. That's one day before my birthday. July the 7th at my office here in Sacramento. It's limited to 15 people per workshop. And the workshops will be at 10:30 in the morning and at 12:30 in the afternoon. And they're free and they're intense. And you are going to work harder than you've ever worked. But when you leave, you're going to know stuff. It's as simple as that. You're going to know stuff. You're going to understand how VA works and how Medi-Cal works and how assisted living works and how Medicare works and what pays and what doesn't pay. And all along the way, while you're gathering information, I'm going to be instructing you to make notes on actions taken. That will make a lot more sense in the workshop. If you have never been to one of my workshops before, you want to get your friends and neighbors to. It was great. We had a great time. I'll have my book there for those of you who want my book. And we're going to talk intensely about these issues. I have people bring stuff with them. We go through it. We reason together. But it's really more of a workshop than a seminar. Because it doesn't do you. If I study manuals and I learn how to change oil on a car, I can become an expert at the theory of changing oil on a car. But until I've actually gone out and changed oil on a car, which I have, by the way, I don't really know how to do it. I just have a theory in my head and go, well, someday maybe I'll be able to change the oil in my car. But unless you take action and go do something about that, then it doesn't matter. So we're going to learn how to actually do stuff. So that's going to be on the 7th of July. If you can't wait until the 7th of July, then you should sign up for to get into my office. Those are free. But it's something you should do. And the people that left that workshop doing nothing, I'll guarantee you, I will see them again in a year or 2 years in a complete panic because something bad has happened in their family and now it's all falling apart. So if you would really like to make sure that you've done everything you can to make sure that yourself, your kids, your grandma, your grandpa, whatever, are involved and know what they can do and know what they can't do and have this all figured out, then you'll want to get to the workshop on the 7th. Just call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can email me. If you like emails, you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. bob@assetsandaging.com. In the next few days, I'll have something up on my website. It'll take me a little while to do that because my ace website developer is out of town. But we'll get that taken care of. But in the meantime, you can call me, make a reservation. I'll get you some tickets. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And there'll be one at 10:30 in the morning and one at 12:30 in the morning, or in the afternoon. They'll be intense. You're going to learn, you're going to work, and you're going to come away from there going, wow. I think without exception, the people, the feedback I got after the workshops last time were, that was phenomenal. I've never been to anything like that in my life. It was so focused. It was so full of information and calls to action and then telling us how to formulate and enact a plan. So make sure you call and get to that. Okay, where do I want to start today? Let me start with this. This is just a piece of trivia. The new Medi-Cal as Social Security and spousal impoverishment standards are out. They've been out for a while, but I just haven't read them. So if you go into a nursing home today in California, you can keep $123,600 of available resources. That doesn't mean that's all you can keep. That means that's the minimum you can keep. That's the minimum. If you're a married couple and one of you goes into a nursing home, the spouse at home can keep a minimum of $3,090. Those are the new numbers. There's a 2.2% cost of living adjustment over last year, and there's been 106% cost of living adjustment since 1988. So in 20 years, it's gone up 106%. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't mean anything to me. It only matters what it is today. So there's your new numbers, but here's where I wanted to start. I talk a lot on this show about dementia and brain disease. We've been talking about it a lot in light of Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade and some other stuff that's been going on. Carl Rove wrote a great... I'm taping this on the 14th of June. Carl Rove wrote a great editorial today on suicide of a family member. Please read it. Brain disease is important. It's important to understand. It's important not to walk away from. It's important, you know, we'll tolerate cancer and somebody loses an arm or somebody has a heart attack or somebody has any other disease except brain disease. When it comes to brain disease, dementia, Lewy body disorder, the different Alzheimer's, whatever it is, the bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, anxiety disorder, claustrophobia, I don't know what it is, we back away from that. So there's a lot of talk about a cure for one of the biggest brain diseases. In fact, it's a fatal brain disease. Alzheimer's is a terminal disease, folks. It's not just a little, you know, dad's a little goofy. It's a terminal disease. I know societies that deal with Alzheimer's that don't even allow people to mention the word Alzheimer's in this because, you know, we shouldn't name it. If we name it, it's like Voldemort. It's he who shall not be named. If we name it, somehow we're going to bring it on everybody. But two major pharmaceutical companies, AstraZeneca and Eli Lilly, announced this week, I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, June 13th. The Wall Street Journal, folks, is the only newspaper in America that covers this stuff. The only one. When you want to see issues on aging, it'll be in the Wall Street Journal. You're not going to find it in the local paper. You'll find about some grandpa that skydived, or you'll get front pages on somebody got abused in a nursing home, or something like that, or a Ponzi scheme. But you don't really get stuff that's helpful, except from the Wall Street Journal. And this is helpful if you read it. Two experimental drugs, AstraZeneca and Eli Lilly, two of the biggest drug companies in the world, have pulled their studies on two Alzheimer's medicines because they don't work. There is nothing that cures Alzheimer's. There is nothing that cures dementia. There's no fish oil that does it. There's no over-the-counter medication that does it. There is nothing that cures dementia. I hope you heard me say that. There is nothing that cures Alzheimer's. There is nothing that cures dementia. They take different paths. They go slower. They go faster. But it happens. And when it happens, it's going to get worse. And so it's not just a little nothing when we talk about, you know, oh, mom just is a little forgetful. Yeah, does she remember the grandkids' names? Well, most of the time. Grandma has dementia. When I was growing up, they called it senility. When I was growing up, we lived behind what then was, that common term was a rest home, because that's where you went to be laid to rest from the hospital. Now there's a whole different level of care offered when it comes to dementia and those kinds of things. The point is, it's not curable, folks. And so when that loved one of yours, you find out they have dementia or frailty or they can't get around. I had somebody in my office the other day, big bruise on the face, big bruise on the arm. And I said, when did you fall? And the person said, Well, I said, how many times have you fallen? And they said, 14. And I'm thinking to myself, 14? Somebody's not paying attention here, because one of these days the fall is going to get really, 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 really bad. In this case, the family is willing to get involved and begin to deal with this. That's why I tell people all the time, if your parents, your grandma has told you she fell once, no, she hasn't, she's fallen 10 times. She just didn't tell you. It's not a curable disease. Age is not a curable disease. You read all this stuff about anti-aging, we're all going to age. We are all going to get old. We are all going to get frail. We are all going to die. And some of us are going to take a long time in dying. So what are you going to do with that reality? What's your plan of action in dealing with that? Well, Bob, it's a very uncomfortable subject. I don't care. There's lots of subjects. I'm going to talk about death in a little while. Great Wall Street article this week. Where is it? I can't find it. I just had it in my hot little hand. I'll find it. It's what do you say? How to talk to your dying loved one. We're going to talk about death in a little bit. This show is about the issues of aging. It's not about pretend. It's not about the Cheshire Cat. It's not about Alice in Wonderland. It's not about Peter Pan. It's not about somebody sprinkling some long-term care fairy dust around so we don't get it. It's about the reality of broken people. It's about the reality of broken homes. It's the reality of broken caregivers and what you're going to do about it. And who in the family is stopping what needs to be done because they can't handle the guilt? Get over it. This is going to happen to a lot of you. Some of you it's happening to now, and you just can't do it. You just can't get to the point. Well, how many more times are you going to allow your parent to fall knowingly? Is 14 enough? Well, what about 15? Is 22 times falling enough? Is watching your parent drive and they run through three stop signs because they don't remember? Well, they still got there safely. I once had a client whose parent was legally blind and they were letting them drive. And the only reason it stopped is because the parent went through a stop sign and hit somebody in a crosswalk. Luckily, they weren't hurt. At what point do you say, okay, our reality has changed? If that's happening to you, then the good news is this is the place where you can get the help that you want. This is the place that you can get the help that you need. You can get to my workshop. You can get in to see me. You can buy my book. You can go to my website and read stuff. You can get answers. I'm going to speak to a hospice group in a couple weeks, and I'm really excited about it. And one of the reasons I am is because one of the hospice nurses came to one of my workshops and went, wait a minute, we've been told the exact opposite about all this Medi-Cal stuff from Medi-Cal. And I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. There's so much misinformation floating around. There's so much stuff. There's so many people with a vested interest in you not knowing because they want to be the only source of information. Most of them nonprofits. I have a real bias toward most nonprofits, folks. My own bias is most nonprofits function for the benefit of the salaries paid to the board. That's just a personal opinion. So what are you going to do with that person in your life that's beginning to get frail? What are you going to do with that person in your life who's fragile? What are you going to do with the person in your life that can't manage their own affairs anymore? What are you going to do with the person in your life who needs care? who's going to need care and who's going to need lots of care. Lots of care. Lots and lots and lots of care. What are you going to do when somebody approaches you about long-term care insurance? Are you going to know what to do? Did you know there's somewhere here I have an article. I can't find it. Also from the Wall Street Journal. I'm looking for it in my pile of stuff. I don't sell long-term care insurance, so relax. But on some new long-term care products that are actually unbelievably exciting. Finally, companies are starting to get it right. I mean, there's really some interesting, and I can't find the article. I feel like an idiot. But anyhow, it's here somewhere in my pile of baloney. But it's from this week's Wall Street Journal. So if you want to cruise around a little bit on the Wall Street Journal, you'll find it because it's there. It's absolutely there. You're just going to have to search for it. And it's about some brand new long-term care policies. I'll see if I can find it during the break and get it back to you. But Wall Street Journal, within the last week, how do you talk to families? How do you convince mom that it's, you know, she can't take care of dad anymore? How do you do all that kind of stuff? If you're hoping for the breakthrough on the horizon, I think you're going to be hoping for a long time. How do you figure out veterans' benefits? Boy, there's a good question. There's so much scammy stuff in the veterans' benefits world, folks. I can't even begin to tell you. I have a little brochure that I give out at workshops and stuff on attention veterans. It's just basic information. But there's a wonderful benefit called aid in attendance. It'll help pay for veterans or the surviving spouse of veterans. By the way, I'm not an accredited VA agent. That's okay. I can still give you general information. That helps veterans or the surviving spouse of veterans, and they may get up to almost $25,000 a year tax-free to help pay for assisted living, home care, adult daycare, all kinds of things. It's called aid in attendance. You don't have to have been wounded. You don't have to have retired from the military. You have to meet some basic requirements, and it's a wonderful benefit. The problem is, there's so much scammy stuff going on with it that I can't begin to tell you. In fact, it's gotten so bad that it's really hard for vets to focus between what's reality and what's not. And you're being told, I mean, there are workshops going on inside of care facilities in which the care facilities get a kickback from doing this stuff. So if you want more information on aid in attendance, come to my workshop or call me. I'll be happy to talk to you a little bit. It's a wonderful benefit. It's takes a little while to get. Takes several months to get the benefit. You have to have an application that's all put together and all that kind of stuff. But I know people who can do that. And it's a wonderful benefit. So if you're a vet or the surviving spouse of a vet and you served during a time of war, didn't have to be on the front lines, you just served during a time of war, then you may be eligible, or your surviving spouse may be eligible for this benefit, and it's a game changer. It's tax-free money to help pay for care for a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran. If you want more information, give me a call or get to my next workshop, because we'll be talking about it. In fact, I hand out at the workshop this little information sheet on VA benefits, or this particular VA. There's lots of VA benefits. If you've been to the VA and they told you you don't qualify because your income's too high, or they told you you didn't qualify because you weren't wounded, or they told you you didn't qualify because of whatever, or somebody else told you, don't believe all that stuff. If you're not sure, call me and I'll be happy to talk to you. So during the break, take the chance to go over to the phone, go over to your computer, sign up for my upcoming workshop on the 7th. It really is limited to 15 people per workshop, because that's all I can get in the room. So when I say 15, I'm not kidding, 15. So if you want to come to one of my upcoming workshop on the 7th, call me at 800 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or email me at bob@assetsandaging.com, bob@assetsandaging.com, and I'll get you some tickets, and I'll get you the information, and all that kind of stuff. Pardon me. 800-999-8007. You really do have a choice. You really can take action. All of this is a call to action. The information is great, but when do you begin to make sure that you're going to be okay, grandma's going to be okay, and your life is going to be okay? We're going to take a little break so we can, the station can make some money so I can stay on the air. We'll be back in just a few seconds right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple seconds. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host, have been for 20 years. Glad to have you here. Don't forget my upcoming workshop on the 7th. And by the way, my workshop on the 7th, we're going to talk about the subject I'm going to talk about now also. I talk a lot about frailty. I talk about long-term care. I talk about all that kind of stuff. And I'm talking more and more and more about the issues of dying, because I think it's important. You know, we all may become frail. Not all of us may become frail, but all of us are going to die. And this is a great little article from the Wall Street Journal. And it's from, what's the date on this? I told you, they're the only ones that care about this stuff. This was from, where's the date? April 16th, 2018. It's an updated article, and I printed it out, and I think it republished here about a week ago, but it's How to Talk to Your Dying Loved Ones by Elizabeth Bernstein. And I'm going to read you part of this because I think it's really important. Don't forget, my contact information is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Or you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. How many of you know somebody that's died? Everybody. And as you get older, there's more people going to die. More people that you love, more people that you can know. It's just going to happen. And all of us are flummoxed when it comes to, what do you say to Mildred, whose husband just died? What do you say to John, whose father just died? What do you say? We all say, I'm sorry. We all say, if there's anything I can do, you know, help, let me know. We all struggle with this, and then we bring over casserole. It's a universal struggle. Don't beat yourself up over it. It's a universal struggle. So this is a terrific little article, and you don't have to like everything in it, but I want to read you some of this. And so I'm reading from this article called How to Talk with Your Dying Loved One as They're Dying. Okay, it's bad enough that we have to figure out how to talk with a family member. How do you talk to someone who's in the process of dying? So let me talk a little bit. The conversations we have with a loved one who is dying are among the most important and difficult we may ever have. I've done this so many times, folks, I've lost count how many people I've had conversations with who are dying. I can't tell you how many homes I've been in where hospice is in place and we're waiting for the person to die, and how many conversations I've had with those people and their families. It's a lot. One of the reasons is this is a great source, is I've probably seen most everything, confronted most everything, and dealt with more icky stuff when it comes to the aging process than most people alive. It's not a bragging thing, folks. It's just when you've been doing the same thing for 25 years, you see things and families and situations that are overwhelming sometimes. It's very rare that somebody walks into my office with a circumstance I've never heard before. Yet too often we dodge any mention of death. Survivors worry that bringing it up will hurt or scare their dying family member. And the person who is dying tries to prevent their loved ones from thinking about the impending loss. Each wants to protect the other. Yet many times people are trying to protect themselves as well and living alone in their sadness. Now, here's just some notes, because I don't have enough time to read the whole thing. And I'm gonna talk about this more at my workshop on the 7th, and maybe in future radio shows, because I think it's important. We've been talking more and more about post-death planning, after-death stuff. This is this person's view, and her name is, let me give you her name again. The author's name is Elizabeth Bernstein, I'm not sure which one it is. And I think she's written a book, but I can't remember the name of the book. Okay, let's see if it's got her name. I don't have it here, but anyhow. How to approach the talk. Talk early. Don't wait until the very end when people are understandably very emotional. Time may be limited and the dying person may move in and out of consciousness. They're influenced by end-of-life drugs. They're influenced by all that kind of stuff. Talk to that person early. Plan on the discussion early. Make a crib sheet. If you aren't sure what you want to say or whether you'll be able to say it, write it down and read it aloud. I think that's a brilliant idea. We want to try to be spontaneous, but I also want to say what's valuable. And sometimes when you're sitting there talking to someone who's dying and not feeling well, our own consciousness slips in and out, and we just don't know what to say. Start with an explanation and acknowledge the talk is difficult for you. I'm not sure how much time we'll have left, and there are some things I want to make sure I say to you while I can. Get the elephant in the room. We're trying to keep the elephant out of the room. The elephant's standing there in the room. We have to acknowledge the elephant, folks. This person is dying. We as a culture, as Americans, are very bad at this. Most cultures in the world treat dying, death and dying, as a normal part of living. We, because of pharmacies and doctors and the healthcare we get in this country, believe that we can keep somebody alive forever, and we can't. Keep it brief. Reading from the article, people are likely to have less physical and emotional energy to sit through something long. Pick one to two of the most important things you want to say. Don't go through the entire, I remember in 1952 when we went on the picnic. Talk about what's important to you and to them as part of your relationship with them and what that relationship has meant to you. I'm reading again. Don't expect people to change. Not everyone is up for the conversation you envision. If someone doesn't want to talk, let it go. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. That doesn't mean you're not going to approach it later, but why in the world would you want to get into an argument at the end of life because somebody doesn't want to talk about it? But I think it's a subject you have to be brave enough to continue to bring up over and over and over again. Especially when you have a situation where dad is dying and mom is in denial about it, and mom really needs to understand what's happening. Not just dad. Mom needs to understand what's happening. Or it could be a sibling who just doesn't want to talk about this. Don't push religion unless it's important to that person. If it's important to you, that's fine. It may not be important to the person that's receiving it. Not everyone is up for that. If someone doesn't want to talk about those issues, let it go. It may be important to you, but it may not be important to the person who you're talking to who is dying. Manage your expectations. I'm reading again. Often people think a dying person will offer up the secrets to life or explain a family mystery. but that may be out of character for the person and exhausting. Don't be reasonable in what you think that person is going to be capable of talking about. If they had a trauma 30 years ago or 40 years ago in life, they may not want to talk about it. They may want to talk about the loss of their child 40 years ago. You may want to bring up the memory, but they don't want that memory. They've dealt with that memory. They don't need it dredged up again at the time when they're on their way out. Be compassionate. In some situations, forgiveness and staying silent may be more gracious than speaking an unkind truth. Sometimes the best thing is to hold somebody's hand. I've done this so many times I can't tell you. To hold somebody's hand, to stroke someone's face, to touch them, to embrace them with words, to talk about the kindness in their life and what it's meant to you to have them in your life and how important they have been for you. The person who is dying, in my experience, knows that they're dying, and they just are, I think more than anything else, they want to hold on to relationships. And for you to let them know that that relationship is important to you and that that relationship will continue with you for the rest of your life is important. Sometimes just a touch, a kind word, and I love you, you're important to me, is enough. It doesn't have to be some grand, philosophical or intellectual statement. Be present. Sometimes the best talks happen when you least expect them. So the more time you spend with this person, the more opportunities you will have. The general rule is when someone's dying, it's uncomfortable. We don't know what to say. One of the reasons I loved about this article, one of the things I loved that they said is use a crib sheet. Write out in advance what you want to say. There's nothing wrong with that. But be present. Do you go once and then go, I can't go back anymore. It's too hard. You know, Mildred passed in and out. I can't go back. You have to be present. One of the signs to someone who's sick and dying is having people come who they know are going to be there every day. Maybe not for long, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, but it's important enough, they're important enough to come and visit them every day for just a moment or two or three. It doesn't have to be an hour, doesn't have to be 2 hours, it doesn't have to be just enough that you're present. And that person knows as they're dying that they're not going to die alone. There's going to be someone present. It even when family members do want to talk, they sometimes aren't sure what to say. Survivors worry it's wrong to show sadness in front of the dying person, so they chat about superficial topics they think are less distressing. I took care of someone recently, not that long ago, who was dying. I knew that that person was dying. That person knew that they were dying. And we talked all the time about dying. We talked about what was going to be important to them, how they wanted to die, to make sure that their wishes were going to be followed, to make sure that the people they wanted to get the stuff that they had went to them. We were sad sometimes. We cried together sometimes. But we talked about deep things. We talked about the family that was left behind. We talked about a sibling that they had who was also dying at the same time. We talked about all kinds of stuff. We also talked about food. We talked about superficial things too, because that's what they wanted to talk about. But we also had discussions about how hard it was and how much this person was going to miss life and had been independent their whole life and how much they were going to miss life and what it was going to mean to them to miss life and how much they had enjoyed everything they had done in their 90-some years. We sometimes are afraid to get into real discussions, and I think that's a mistake. We chat about superficial things, and that's not a good idea. It only adds to the pain, because that person thinks you don't really want to talk about, you just want to talk about, you know, what you had for dinner last night. Sometimes that's okay. But at some point, you need to talk about relationships and that person and you and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to read to you, one doctor said, there are six kinds of conversations that people have. This is from, who is this? This is Maureen Keeley, professor of communication at Texas State University. So there are six categories of that we have when we're talking to someone who's dying. Here they are quickly. Conversations about love. People tell each other, sometimes for the first time, how much they matter to them. That's a big one. Identity messages. For the survivors, these are conversations that frame who you are. A dying loved one knows you well and may want to give you a push in the right direction, and you will likely listen. Religious or spiritual talks. Family members may read the Bible, recite prayers together, discuss their belief if both sides believe that. Next category is everyday talk. The beauty of these types of conversations is that they are just about spending time with each other. People may just watch TV, take a walk, listen to music together. What you are doing is saying, I am living with you up until the moment you die. The next kind of conversation is the difficult relationship talk. These conversations attempt to repair a hurt of some kind, say with a parent who was controlling or neglectful. But if that hurt is too great and you don't want to talk about it, you shouldn't feel guilty. Instrumental death talk. These are logistical conversations about wishes for end-of-life care, funeral, and burial plans. It's important that you talk and have discussions with someone who you love who is dying. I strongly recommend you read and keep handy the article. This is one I wouldn't throw away. This is one I'm not going to throw away. It's going to go in my permanent file and will come up from time to time on this show. It's from the Wall Street Journal, and it's entitled, How to Talk with Your Dying Loved One. It's really important to do. And having conversations about all of frailty is important. It's important that the family is honest. I've been saying this for 25 years about what's really going on with Mom. You know, three of the kids are understand, but two of the kids don't understand. You know, Mom is fine. Mom is okay. Mom is doing well. I know somebody that's spending $100,000 a month taking care of their parents when their parents would be much better off in a different situation, but they can't do it because two of the children want to do it, and one of the children can't handle the guilt and is absolutely stopped, threatened to leave the family, using it for power rather than caring about Mom and Dad, has used their position for power to create guilt in everybody's life and not get Mom and Dad the best care that they needed, but to, anyhow, my point is people need to have this conversation long before it happens. They need to have the honest conversation about what's really going on with Mom, what's really going on with Dad, what's really going on. You need to understand about depression and frailty. And I'm not talking about the person who's ill. I'm talking about the caregiver. Most caregivers are depressed. Most caregivers are depressed family members. They are depressed. And everybody's focused on mom who has dementia. Nobody's focused on dad or on one of the kids. They're depressed. I had someone in my office the other day who I've known for a long time. And the caregiver for the parent is not doing a very good job. And the other child is really trying to do better. And they're sitting in front of me talking. And I can tell that child, the one talking to me, is depressed because they're in the middle of something. They have a failing parent. They have a sibling that's not taking care of the failing parent. In fact, is taking advantage of the failing parent. And I can tell they're depressed. I'm not a shrink. I don't get to say that to them. I could say it as a friend and say, you know, hey, Fred, that's not the person's name. But you should be talking to somebody because they're depressed. It's not unusual for the frail person, mom or dad, to be depressed. They know what's happening to them. So what's your action plan? They don't like it. Most people, as they age, get more depressed. It's normal. They can't do the things they used to do. Their hand shakes when they tried to feed themselves. They can't put their shoes on anymore because they can't bend over. Their colors are wrong, and so they put on the different color socks or different color pants with a shirt. Because a lot of people lose their sense of color as they get older. I bet you didn't know that. They're depressed. So what are you doing? What's your action plan? You've been given all this information now for the last 45 minutes. So what's your action plan? Now that you have all this information, now that you know how to have a conversation, now that you know that you don't have to spend everything, now that you know you can keep money, now that you know you can protect the home, now that you know there's a secret sauce to all of this, what's your action plan? Are you going to sit on your butt and just sit there? Or do you have an action plan and you're going to move forward with it? You're going to actually begin to do the things that you need to do to gain control of this circumstance, or are you just going to become another victim of circumstance because you're too scared? We're all scared when we deal with this stuff, folks. You're too scared. You know, there's a Star Trek movie where, you know, an old one with Captain Kirk, the Captain Kirk, and they're taken over by some bad guys. That always happened. And they're going to go through the barrier, and nobody knows what's on the other side of the barrier, so everybody's always stayed on this side of the Forbidden Zone. No one ever went through the Forbidden Zone. Nobody ever did that. They never went through the Forbidden Zone. So, you know, that's kind of like this. We don't know what's on the other side of this, so we don't know that we want to punch through. So what's your action plan to deal with this? Do you have one? Do you have plans to come to the workshop? Do you have plans to come and see me? Do you have plans to read my book? Do you have something? That's helping you move forward with that frail, failing, elderly person who you know and love. July 7th, my office, 10:30 and 12:30. There's two workshops, they're both the same, limited to 15 people each, 800-999-8007, or you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com, bob@assetsandaging.com, and actually begin the process of making a difference. Actually take some action rather than just sitting there and saying, you know, someday I probably ought to do something about this. Someday I probably ought to talk to the kids. Someday I probably ought to talk to my parents. Someday, I probably ought to talk to my brothers and sisters about what we should do. Someday, and then someday comes and no one's ready because no one was willing to take any action until it became a crisis. And now we're not planning, we're just reacting. We're just trying to keep our heads above water. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Get to the workshop on the 7th of July, 10:30 or 12:30, limited to 15 people, or email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. If you can't make it to the workshop, then get in to see me. The consultation is free. But begin to take action and take positive steps and move forward and begin to do the things that you need to do to be responsible for that person who's counting on you. I love doing this. It's always, you know, I look forward to this sometimes with dread because I have to come up with something I think is important. But I love doing this, and I love working with families, and I would love the opportunity to work with your family and make your life and your family's life better when it comes to navigating frailty. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Make sure you listen to my podcast every Wednesday at noon on my website, assetsandaging.com. Otherwise, I will plan on seeing you same time, same place next week or in my office, but I look forward to meeting you. 800-999-8007. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day and you're ready to take action.